The majority need the English. But the minority understand English very well. No problem. Our speech tonight will be about the Gospel of the Vespers of tonight. And the Gospel of tonight, if you could kindly, where is the iPad? Open John 6, please. The Gospel of tonight is a part of the Gospel of tomorrow. And in the raising of incense in the morning, and the Gospel of the liturgy as well. And as I said, it's taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 6. Chapter 6 of the Gospel of St. John is the most important chapter in the Gospel of St. John, entirely. Entirely. Why? Because it begins with the miracle of feeding the thousands of 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now, when the people took it literally, when the people understood from it that the Lord is coming to feed them every day, they followed him. Because they were not searching for him to believe in, but they were searching for the food from his hands, seeking the earthly bread, seeking the materials of this world, but not seeking the Lord himself. So the first part is the miracle. And then the second part is the Gospel of tonight, from verse 16 to verse 23. 7 or 8 verses only. And then after that, the Lord declared to them from 23 to 66, verse 66, the end of this chapter, 71 actually. But mainly to 66, he was speaking about one topic. The relationship between the miracle of feeding the people from 5 loaves and 2 fish, and the Holy Communion, the giving of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he explained that the miracle is not for him to feed them, but to offer himself as the new bread of life for the whole world, once and forever. And he compared between the manna, which the Lord gave the children of Israel in the wilderness of Sinai on the hands of Moses, and himself as the new bread of life, or the true bread of life. Anyhow, tomorrow I'm sure that Abuna will explain about the bread of life and the Holy Communion, but tonight we want to meditate only from verse 16 to verse 23. Just before that, I want to repeat the last two verses from this chapter, verse 14 and verse 15, before we begin in the Gospel of tonight. St. John, "Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, 'This is truly the prophet who is to come into the world.' Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself alone." Why did I repeat these two verses? Because actually, the Gospel of tonight, of the Vesper of tonight, is built on the last two verses. The people wanted to make our Lord Jesus Christ king. So he disappeared from them and went upon a mountain. And then in verse 16, when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum, or Capernaum. Actually, Capernaum is the real or the exact word, but here in English, Capernaum, it's twisting the to the word itself. The word itself is Capernaum, but there is no that F and H, which is heavy H. It's not in the English language. It's only in the Arabic and also in the Hebrew. They have it. Anyhow, they took the boat into Capernaum. Now, after I made this introduction, can you guess why did the Lord leave them alone to go into the boat in the sea, and he himself went upon the mountain after performing the miracle? What was the reason of that, in your opinion? After I said, in your opinion, what is the reason of that? I repeat it. What did the people intended to do with Jesus Christ? Make him king. Did the Lord accept? Where did he go? On the mount. Where did he leave the disciples to go? To the sea. The Lord wanted to give a very important lesson to his disciples. There is a big difference between being a king in this world and to be a savior for the whole world. The Lord himself refused to be a king. Maybe it upset some of the disciples because they were his disciples. And supposedly, if they made him a king, then these 12 disciples would take positions in the kingdom. Of course, they were. And they were thinking in their hearts, so long our master will be the king, then everyone will take one of the positions of the kingdom, prime minister or whatever. But the Lord wanted to give them a very important example. First, he went upon a mountain. Why? Because the mountain resembles the heavens, and the mountain is high above the level of the earth. That's why David, the prophet and the king, said in one of the psalms of the Vespers, I lifted up my eyes up to the mountain from where comes my help, my refuge. Right? So the main reason that the Lord did not want them to have hope in this world, to search for positions in this world. On the contrary, first he went upon the mountain because he is above all. He is not the king of this world, he is the king of kings of the whole world, and he is the savior of the whole world. Up till now they did not recognize that much. They felt that he is Messiah. They believed somehow that he has an extraordinary power above all the people, above all the prophets that they read in the Old Testament. But till now they didn't have the idea of being a savior and how also. So the lesson here from the Lord, number one, to say, who is from above? Is above all. How is coming from the earth? Is from the earth. And who is coming from heaven? Is the heaven. This is number one. Number two, he permitted them to go in the sea, because the sea resembles the world. The sea resembles the world. And the boat is our life. Every one of us has a boat. Everyone. Every one of us rides a boat. Where is this boat? From your head to your toes, from above. This is the boat that we ride. Why do I say that? Because the most important thing in our lives is not the bodies, but the spirits. So the body carries my spirit. Like when someone rides the boat. And so long we ride this boat, then we are swimming in the water of this world, in the sea. And why the sea, not the river? Because the water of the sea is salty, and the water of the river is sweet. We are not yet in the sweet water. We still live in the salty water. We are not supposed to fill our bodies from the salty water, from this worldly lusts. And that's why he permitted them to go into the sea with their boats. Some information about this sea, what that they call the sea. It's actually like one of the lakes, big lake, but part of the sea. So some of the specifications of this sea, they said that the width of it was 8 miles. 8 miles. And the length of it actually I want to give you exactly the dimensions of this. Of this lake, yeah. Of the sea. It was about 12 miles. And he said that while the disciples were in the boat, a very severe storm blew around them, and they were going to drown. They were going to perish because they were very afraid of the storm. Number one, because it was dark. And the word dark here means the absence of the Lord in their lives. The absence of the Lord in my life means that I live not in the light, but in the darkness. Why? Because the Lord actually is the true light. The Lord is the true light. And when I say absence of the Lord, I mean that I don't see the Lord. But it doesn't mean that the Lord is not here. He is here, but I can't see him. I live in the darkness. So they were alone. While the Lord Jesus Christ was on the mountain, and they were suffering so much in the troubled sea, with a small calculation, you will find that they were suffering for 10, full 10 hours. Although they already were crossing 5 to 6 kilometers from the 8 kilometers. I said it means it's 8 kilometers. So it means that 25 or 30 ghalwa. I don't know what's written in English. 25 or 30 ghalwa. What the meaning? Yani, what is the English word? For miles, yeah, yeah. This is what I was going to say. They sailed about 5 to 6 kilometers. So they were 2 kilometers far from the seashore, the other side. But they were suffering so much. Where the Lord? The Lord was on the mountain. Why did you leave them suffering 10 hours? 10 is one of the perfect numbers. It means that we are supposed to suffer fully in this world. But, and underline but with many lines. If we are not in darkness, we should be afraid. If we are seeing the true light, even if we are suffering, no problem at all. And this is what we'll see now. So what happened when it is darkness? Let us say they started by sunset, thinking that they will arrive soon. Huh? They spent from sunset until 3 o'clock a.m., for example. Imagine 3 o'clock, and it was darkness, suffering, storm, high waves, dangerous. And they were screaming. The Lord asks us here that we should called for him from the very beginning. Why do you try to solve your problem alone? Why? One day, St. Anthony the Great, who was the first one to have a monastic life, and is the father of all the monks all over the world, was a little bit boring. So he saw an angel taking some palms, making baskets for a while, and then leave the baskets and worship the Lord and pray. And then he repeated it and again pray, and he repeated the basket, and he prayed again, and he heard the voice say, "Do that, I will not, and you will not be bored." He started to do that. One day, Satan wanted to tease him, wanted to give him trouble. So he washed the palms and he put them on the ground, and then Satan came and blew them. They became dark again, because when he blew them on the ground, on the dust, while they were wet. So patiently, St. Anthony took the palms again, washed them again, patiently put them on like a piece of wool or something. And then again, Satan did the same. St. Anthony did the same. He washed the palms and put them again. Satan came for the third time and blew them. And St. Anthony cried out, "Oh my Lord, help me!" And then the Lord cast out Satan. And then St. Anthony was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, "Why didn't you call me from the first time? Why did you depend on yourself to solve your problem? If you called me from the first time, I must have cast the devil from you." Got the lesson? Sometimes we depend on our wisdom, on our power, on our hands. And then when we give up, then we go to the Lord. We shouldn't do that. We should rely on Him from the first time. And He will guide us what to do. Through direct message, or through my priest, or through my spiritual guide, or through one of my faithful friends, whatever. So the message will be sent to me. This is the lesson. They were suffering for 10 hours. They didn't call the Lord. So after the 10 hours, the Lord Himself, sorry for this expression, became afraid on them that they will maybe drown. And then He said, "Oh, they did a mistake. They didn't call me, but I will go to them even." And this is what the Lord did. He walked, of course, on the water. It's normal that the Lord walked. He is the creator of the water. And He is the creator of everything. And the day before, He fed thousands from 5 loaves and 2 fish. So He is the master, or the Lord of the material. As well, He is the master of the sea, the waves, the storms, and all the nature, because He is the creator of them all. So the Lord went to them walking on the water. When they saw him, unfortunately, they did not recognize him. They thought he was a ghost. And then they cried out. And then he said, I am who I am. You know what? I am who I am. This is a word is not said except by the Lord himself. In the Old Testament and in the New Testament, I am, he said to them, it's I, do not be afraid. It's I means I am who I am. I am who I am means I am Jehovah. I am the Lord. When Moses said to the Lord in the Old Testament, if I go to Pharaoh and say, I am sent by the Lord or by God, he will ask me, who is your God? The Lord surprised and said to him, I am who I am. Ana huwa al-ka'in. I am who I am. I'm not created, I am the creator. So I am he. It's he. It's I. Do not be afraid. And the word do not be afraid, the Lord repeated in many occasions. So they recognized his voice and he recognized his words. Question. Do we hear the Lord when we are suffering? When he says, it's I, do not be afraid. Do we recognize his voice when you are suffering, when we are in trouble, when we are drowning in the water of this world? It's a question we have to answer ourselves and to look at ourselves from inside. Do I recognize his voice? He said, my sheep knows my voice, and they follow me when I call him. I call him, and they walk, and they go after me, because they know my voice. When they knew his voice, it is said they accepted him. Then they willingly received him into the boat. Read after that. Let us read together in a loud voice. And immediately the boat was at the land where they were. How long was remaining? 2 kilometers in one line, in one moment, in one second. Immediately means as soon as he got in the boat, they found themselves at the seashore. They arrived in no time. Immediately means in no time. Wow! Did he recognize this before? We read it many times. But did he recognize that? As soon as the Lord got into the boat and they willingly, joyfully received him, everything was done. The problem was solved at the moment of their receiving to him in the boat. Again, let us apply to ourselves. As I said in the beginning, where is the boat? Where is your boat? Here. Where is the Lord? Here. But do you recognize his voice? This is the main reason. In this miracle, the Lord was outside. But in the New Testament, the Lord is not outside. The Lord in the bottom of my heart, in the depths of my heart, the Lord dwells in me through his Holy Spirit. when I was baptized and then confirmed with the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit dwelt in me and lives in me permanently, not temporarily. And this is the main difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament. The New Testament means He lives in me day and night, permanently. He made a mansion in my heart. So even if I deny Him, He's still in. Even if I ignore Him, He's still in. Even if I resist Him, He's still in. Even if I become infidel towards Him, not believing that He lives in me, still, many of those who were baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ passed in a period of their lives, in a very difficult time, when they denied not only the salvation of the Lord, but the existence of God entirely. They became atheists. But the Lord, most of them, the Lord visited them with the visitation in their heart, and they became again. Did the church rebaptize them? No. The church did not baptize them again, because they are already mansion, temple of the Holy Spirit. Conclusion. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Whenever we recognize His permanent existence in us, then we will live in the light. We will be delighted with His true light. If we forget that we are the temple of the Lord or the temple of the Holy Spirit, then we will, number one, live in dark, number two, lose our way, number three, fall in many sins and mistakes. Oh, Abuna, we are not perfect. What are you saying? What you're saying means that we will never do something wrong. I didn't say that. But even Saint John, in his one of the epistles, the first epistle, same gospel writer who wrote his gospel, he wrote three epistles. One of them, he said, who is born from God cannot sin, and the devil cannot touch him. And then after that, he said, I say that to you so as not to fall. But if you fall in sin, we have a mediator, we have an intercessor who can forgive us, and the blood of Jesus Christ will purify us. So when we say that we should live in the light, it doesn't mean that we will live perfect life without falling in sin, but be wise enough to recognize that you are going far from the light. And as far as you go far from the light, then you will live in darkness. Come back. And this is what we call repentance. Repentance is to correct my ways. Repentance is to recognize that I don't see Him, although He's inside me. Saint Augustine, when he was living a very bad life for about 20 years and became philosopher, one of the famous philosophers in the whole world, up till now, they teach his philosophy in the Faculty of Arts, up till now. But after he repented, he wrote what's called Confessions of Augustine. In one of them he said, I was searching for you everywhere. In the sea, I didn't find you. In the heavens, I didn't see you. in the mountains. I didn't see you. After I suffered so much searching for you, at last, I found you in the depths of my heart while I was recognizing that you are in. Forgive me, my Lord, that I spent all the time without being delighted of your true light. So this happens with us. Sometimes when we separate our desire from him, when we separate our system of life from his, this is the problem. But thank God that this problem has a solution. If there is a problem without solution, this is desperation. This no hope. But we have hope in him to come back through ourselves in his bosom and say, I have sinned in heavens and you're in your eyes, forgive my sin. And he will take me in his bosom. And he will say, as he said to the sinner woman, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. May the Lord who saved his disciples from the boat which was suffering in the sea of this world, to give them a lesson that they should not search for the kingdom of this world, but prefer the kingdom of heavens. When he comes in the boat and works in their boat, then they will give ear to him and open their heart for him and go not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any questions? No questions. Thank you so much. Let us pray for those who have time and be very good, happy to have you all. Get the agpia, please. Paul. بسم الله والابن الروح القدس الله الواحد امين يا رب اجعلنا مستحقين نقول بشكر. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Christ Jesus our Lord, for thine the kingdom, the power, the glory of heaven. Amen. نشكر صانع الخيرات الرحوم الله بربنا وإلهنا وخلصنا المسيح لأنه سترنا عنا فلنقبلنا ليشفق علينا وعضرنا وتبنى لهذه الساعة وأيضا فلنسألنا يحفظنا في هذا اليوم مقدس كل حياتنا بكل سلام الضابط كل رب إلهنا سيد رب الإله ضابط الكل أبو ربنا وإلهنا وخلصنا المسيح. We thank you for everything and concerning everything and in everything, for you have covered us, helped us, guarded us, accepted us to yourself, spurred us, supported us, and have brought us to this hour. Therefore, we ask and entreat your goodness, O love of mankind, grant us to complete this holy day and all the days of our life, in all peace with your fear, all envy, all temptation, all the work of Satan, the counsel of the wicked men and the rising up of enemies, hidden and manifest. Take them away from us, from all your people, and from this holy church that's yours. But do things which are good and profitable, do provide for us, for it is you have given us the authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and uphold the power of the enemy. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Through the grace, compassion, and love of mankind, of your only begotten Son, our Lord God and Savior, Jesus Christ, through whom the glory, the honor, the dominion, the worship are due unto you, with him and the Holy Spirit, the giver of life, who is one and succeeded in all times, the outgate of ages. Amen. Have mercy upon me.